Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to the channel. This video is saying Requiescat in Pace, Manmohan Singh. So the erstwhile Prime Minister of India died yesterday at the age of 92, a very distinguished gentleman he was. So he was best known for starting India's turbocharged economic growth. He's having good economic growth in the 90s. I remember my geography teacher saying they had the preconditions for takeoff. It was really after the millennium, it sped up, sometimes double-digit economic growth. It was just phenomenal. 2008, the credit crunch, it did slow down, but it was still growing. And it's grown, I think I'm correct in saying, every single year since he became prime minister. And he served for 10 years uninterrupted as prime minister, 2004 to 2014. In some ways, a challenging time for him to take over. So he's died at 92. He's not quite India's longest lived prime minister. That might have been Morarji Desai. He lived to almost 100. It was even more about impressive Morarji Desai dying in the 90s. Of course, life expectancy was appreciably lower in the 90s than it is today. Now, what explains the longevity of Manmohan Singh? Being part of the Khalsa, he obviously eschewed alcohol. He ate a vegetarian diet, no smoking, all the rest of it. Fidelity, all the things which are conducive to a long and healthy life. He's born in what is now Pakistan. He was born into a Sikh family. Some of my viewers might not have heard of that religion, which started in the Punjab, India. And obviously the great majority of the world Sikhs are in India, but the Sikhs for some reason are more likely to emigrate than Hindus, Indian Christians, Muslims, and so forth. So the observant Sikh men are baptized, or Sikh women are baptized when they reach adulthood. But the observant Sikh men, they wear beards because they never cut any body hair. And indeed, they wear turbans just to keep the hair in order. Apparently, the turban's not essential, but they all just find it useful to keep their hair under control. So yeah, he was born there, and he was obviously a victim of the partition of India when he was 15 years old, or 14 years old, actually, fleeing for his life from territory which became Pakistan. He was always very scholarly, and that's why he has a doctorate. He'd studied at Oxford University. Is he the only Indian prime minister to win a degree from Oxford University? I know Indira Priyadarshini Gandhi, she studied at Somerville College, Oxford, but then she dropped out without a degree. So he was born into a middle-class Sikh family of merchants. And then he moved to the East Punjab, the western half of Punjab, which then became Pakistan. He studied a Hindu college in Amritsar, remember the holy city of the Sikhs, and getting a BA and an MA there. You've got to remember that in those days, literacy in India was very low, and independence only like 20%. So to have a degree, you were just so far ahead of most people. In those days, about 2% of the population of the United Kingdom would get a degree. In India, it'd be more like 0.2%. So that's why he was very much in the academic aristos, and then going on to St. John's College, Cambridge, winning a scholarship to go there, because obviously he didn't have that much money. There's a wealth gap between India and the United Kingdom now. But in the 1950s, when he went to Cambridge, it was much, much further. Then he went to Oxford University, to Nuffield College, a postgraduate only one, where he got a DPhil. Every other country calls a doctorate, or every other university calls it PhD. In Oxford, it's DPhil. A thesis about India's export performance, and he thought it needed to improve. So he went back. We worked for the United Nations for a while, as well as being a lecturer in India, and then he joined the Congress Party, and famously P.V. Narasimha Rao, the first Congress Prime Minister, not to be from the sort of Nehru Gandhi dynasty, appointed him Finance Minister in 1991. Rajiv Gandhi had been prime minister in the late 1980s after his mother's assassination. And Rajiv Gandhi realized the license Raj had to go. Up until then, there was an autarkic policy to minimize imports, make things in India insofar as possible, and have to get license to bring things in. Meant to be a planned economy. So it was tended towards socialism. It wasn't actually a communist state. There were elements of the free market. But I mean, Nehru said there's this pointless competition. and capitalism, all it does is put more money in fewer and fewer pockets. It will impoverish the masses. And in a country where there's a terrible impecuniosity, we have to help those who are poverty stricken. And the only way to lift them out of pauperism is by government action, controlling the economy for the good of the people. And that's how the neediest will have the necessities of life provided to them. But Rajiv Gandhi began to see that this is foolish. The way to do it, like some Latin American countries were doing, is to liberalize the economy, have less state ownership, to have more private ownership and the profit motive, and that would produce more goods and services and at a higher quality as well. So he started moving towards that in the late 1980s, obviously lost the election over the Boffers scandal in 1989 to do with bribes to and from the Swedish company Boffers about manufacturing howitzers for the Indian Army. Then there was that coalition in for 2 years. God, I mean, and there was a Singh who led that one for a while, but he wasn't a Sikh. He was a Jutt. A Singh is not a Sikh. And then 1991, just after the assassination of Rajiv Gandhi, when he's campaigning to come back into office, Congress won by a landslide. P.V. Narasimha Rao is prime minister and Manmohan Mohan Singh is finance minister. And there's this celebrated oration in the Parliament of India announcing his economic reform package. And that really was an epoch-making moment. So India had a major fiscal deficit. There was a balance of payments crisis and so on. And then he was able to turn it all around, really by transitioning to capitalism. So he was personally incorruptible. Now, he was elected to the Rajya Sabha, as in the House of the States. So the state legislatures elect people to that upper house. The Lok Sabha, is as in the House of the People, is directly elected in single member constituencies by the first past the post system. And he's a Congress Party leader. And then he was indeed a leader of the opposition party, because the Bharatiya Janata Party, they came back into office in 1998 and they held office to 2004. And it looked like, you know, Congress was wrecked. Would Congress ever get back into office? Yeah, I remember when he stood for South Delhi in 1999. I was in India at the time, but he didn't unseat the incumbent. So then he came back. Now, Congress couldn't rule on its own. They formed the National Democratic Alliance with a lot of left-leaning parties. And so that's where he's able to push further with his policies in 2004. And of course, the prime ministership was initially offered to Sonia Gandhi. She was leader of the party. Sonia Gandhi was the widow of Rajiv Gandhi. Sonia Gandhi, originally Italian. So born in Italy, she'd gone to Cambridge to do an English language course when she was 18. She was working as a waitress when she met Rajiv Gandhi. The two fell in love. He gave up his degree at Cambridge University, returned to India as a pilot for Air India. She married him. She moved to India, lived there for decades, gave birth to his daughter and son. And eventually she became an Indian citizen and really didn't want him to go to politics. It was his elder brother, Sanjay. He was the great hope of the family. He was killed in an air crash in the late 1970s. And that's when Rajiv Gandhi, then all the hope transferred to him. So reluctantly, she went into politics later on. And there was a lot of racism against her. I remember people chanting "foreign woman shame" or "what this foreigner is going to take over our country next, a Kargil intruder will do so," as in those Pakistanis were invading Jammu and Kashmir. Anyhow, she was leader of the Congress Party, and India's not racist. She won. Just because she's white, she can still be prime minister. So in India, they say we believe in equality. Whether you're a born Indian, whether you're a naturalized Indian, everyone has the same rights. And that includes an immigrant like her, because she's become an Indian citizen. We are colorblind. We draw no distinction. But then she was the president saying, well, can you form a government? You know, you lead the National Democratic Alliance. That's Congress plus allies. And she said, I always said I'd listen to my inner voice. I decided not to go for it. And there was uproar. But as she declined the premiership, it then fell to Manmohan Singh. Maybe a better choice. I mean, she shouldn't become prime minister if she doesn't want to. She thinks he's not up to the mark. Other things is she's never mastered Hindi. She can speak some, and then she can't read is that the Devanagari script. She can only read it when it's written in the Latin letters for her. Anyway, so Manmohan Singh took over. He really improved healthcare. He had to boost national security. Now, the Mumbai terror attacks happened on his watch when that Taj Mahal hotel was taken over in Mumbai. So people see that was a massive intelligence failure. bringing in the National Rural Employment Guarantee Act because the rural areas were really lagging behind economically. Now, managed to have cordial relations with the United States at the height of the war on terror, didn't support what was happening in Iraq, but there was an opportunity for India and Afghanistan, and Pakistan's allies appeared to be on the back foot. So he was a notable figure on the world stage and attending the G20 all the time. So he was held in the highest respect, and the opposition found it difficult to lay a glove on him. So he enjoyed a quiet retirement, and he seldom made interventions. But he had a number of heart problems even whilst he was in office. So he's married, he had three daughters. And way back in 1984, there were these anti-Sikh riots, up to 3,000 Sikhs murdered as a backlash for the murder of Mrs. Gandhi. And I remember some BJP politician saying, well, ask him to take off his turban. You see, he cut off all his hair back then to pretend he wasn't a Sikh. I've no idea if that's true. But it's great because there's a lot of anti-Sikh bigotry in the 1980s. By the 90s subsided, and 2004 is the ultimate proof it's gone. So far, India's only Sikh prime minister, though India has had a Sikh president, VP Singh, in the early 80s. Well, thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.